The Holy Gospel for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus is praying these words to the Father. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me even as you have loved me, have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace be yours from God who creates us, from Jesus who saves us, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life in and among us today and always. Amen. Over the past few days, the Synod Assembly of the South Dakota Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America gathered for a few days, which is a whole bunch of church jargon to say that a bunch of Lutherans gathered here in Sioux Falls to hang out together, to hear about what's going on in the church, in our community, our state, around the country, and around the world. And we also gathered to make some important decisions about leadership in our church, which I will talk more about in a moment. Yesterday, during this gathering of a bunch of Lutherans, Synod Assembly, our guest bishop, our guest preacher was the bishop of the Western North Dakota Synod. And he preached on our passage from John's Gospel. As he read the passage before he preached, he tripped up on some of his words, with all due respect to him, and you can't blame him. "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us." And I knew, which did happen, I knew I would also be tripping up on those words this morning, so I was relieved to be in good company with a bishop. In these verses, Jesus has given us quite the tongue twister, so much that at first hearing or reading of this passage, it seems next to impossible to say the words without tripping up. I really thought I was going to make it, but I didn't. So it's next to impossible to get through the words without tripping up, let alone grasp what Jesus might be getting at. The glory, he says, that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. Yikes. I mean, at first I got to wonder if Jesus just needed a good editor. Like, let's get a little more creative here with our word choice and our syntax. You're losing us in this exhausting web of in me, in us, one in them, in us. But maybe that is kind of the point here, getting lost in the web. Maybe Jesus wants us to get a little mixed up in who is who in this speech. And who is doing what? Jesus, the Father, me, you, us. Maybe he wants us to get a little lost, as though it is impossible to separate, as though we are impossible to separate from God and from one another. Our tongue-twisting passage drops in toward the end of what is called Jesus' farewell discourse in John's Gospel. That is his final words to the disciples on the night before his arrest. So even though we are in the church season of Easter, we're jumping back in the story to before Good Friday and Easter. This farewell discourse starts with Jesus giving a whole bunch of promises and hopes to his closest friends, his disciples, about life after his impending crucifixion. He assures them that even after he is gone from their midst in the physical sense, the Holy Spirit will be with them as their advocate. And then, after Jesus speaks to the disciples for a while about these hopes and these promises, he begins to pray for them. As the text says, after Jesus has spoken these words, these promises and hopes, He looks up to heaven and says, "Father, the hour has come," and then says a bunch of prayers, more stuff, eventually landing at our passage this morning, which continues that prayer. Jesus is praying for his friends whom he has come to love on the eve of what he knew would be their life without him. He's asking for their care and their protection. He's begging God to help them understand their call and their identity in this life, in the love that he has shown them and taught them. He is praying for them, just as a mother prays for her son before his first day of school, just as a father prays for his daughter as he drives away from her college campus. Jesus asks for the care and protection of those he loves most intimately. He asks that they might remember who they are, that in the face of any harm or danger that may cross their paths, their identity would be grounded in all that he tried to teach them. He prays for them, and they overhear it all, the whole prayer. When the story in John's gospel switches from promise to prayer, from speech to supplication, the writer never mentions a change in location. Jesus does not go off to some secret spot. He just says Jesus looks up to heaven and begins to pray. And so that means the disciples overhear the whole thing, the whole prayer. The subjects of Jesus' prayer are hearing his requests about them. They are hearing his hopes and his dreams, his wishes for what they will become, who they will be, and how they will face the world in which they live. And as we hear today, among other things, what he wishes for them is that they may all be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. And he wishes that the love with which the Father, the Creator, has loved Jesus may be in them. That is the web. The web of love and unity between Jesus and the Creator, between Jesus and his disciples and among us. And the disciples are overhearing this wish of this web of unity and love, and they are being invited into that web. Jesus asks this, he says, not only for those people sitting right there hearing the prayer with them, with him, but he also asks for those who will come into relationship with him in the future. So he is actually praying for you and for me right here and right now. And so now we are overhearing Jesus praying for us. We are in the web too, a web of unity, of oneness in God, grounded in the love that God is and God shares with us. This is what Jesus wants for us. This is his prayer for us, that we may be one as our God is one, and that we may be grounded in the love God gives us. And I've got to believe that this oneness, this unity, in this, Jesus is not talking about uniformity. He is not saying some passive-aggressive prayer in front of his disciples to make them feel guilty for not all thinking alike, for not agreeing about the best fishing spots or the next stop on their missionary journeys. As Pastor Jeff mentioned last week, this first group of disciples was a diverse group. They came from different political backgrounds, different socioeconomic classes. They surely did not agree on much of anything. But agreeing on everything is not the point of oneness here. The point is just agreeing on one thing. Jesus is not praying for uniformity, for unanimous agreement. He is asking for unity around the one thing that matters, the love of God for them, for us, and for the world. And that is what the disciples are overhearing, that Jesus wants the love of God to be in and among them for the sake of the world God loves. Jesus is creating and inviting a tongue twister, a tangled web of relationships within God's own self, with the disciples, with us, and with the world. And how powerful it is to overhear this, to hear it not as a passive-aggressive demand, but as a hope for what our beloved teacher hopes for us to become. And that astute teacher seems to know that overhearing those hopes might just change how we live and move in the world, so that we might actually become the people he hoped we would become. This weekend, over our Synod Assembly, our gathering of a bunch of South Dakota Lutheran Christians, we elected and called the next bishop of our South Dakota Synod. Though certainly the Holy Spirit was at work through the process, it was a human process, and as such, we were not all on the same page. And with this text in mind, I wondered about what we were saying to one another, about how we were handling ourselves through the process. I wondered what someone might hear, someone with no connection to the Lutheran Church or to any church for that matter, what they might hear if they were sitting there among us. I wonder what they would have overheard. I wonder what prayers we were saying, whether directly or indirectly. And I am glad to say that most of the time, I was pretty proud of what the people would have overheard. They would have heard candidates for bishop who had different visions for the church, different strategies for ministry, and they would have overheard people, other members and leaders, partners in the church who supported different candidates. They would have heard people who brought in diverse ideas about the very function of bishop in the church and who would leave still disagreeing with one another on those ideas. And yet they would have heard people who sang together, people who laughed together and told jokes. They would have heard that in the thickest moments of tension and waiting, we sang, "Jesus loves me." And we sang, "All are welcome, friend and stranger, at the banquet of the Savior." They would have heard that despite our different opinions and visions, we were living and singing in something like the tangled web Jesus imagined. He and us, we and one another, all united in the love with which God so loved the world that God sent Jesus. I cannot help but wonder what our country might look like and feel like today if we had been forced to sit next to one another and sing together during our recent tense election. If we had lived and sung with one another in the waiting and after the results had been finalized, if we had never been afforded the idea that we could move forward without each other, that it was not an option to retreat to our silos and echo chambers. I wondered what it would look like today if we had been forced to recognize that we are a tangled web of humanity, connected to one another, and as we Christians would say, grounded in the love of Jesus, the love of the one who came for you and for me and for our neighbors. A few days back, here at Spirit of Joy, we had an election of our own sort, a vote on whether to expand this house of prayer for all people, our building. Am I getting a little loud? Tony, thank you. We had this vote, this election of sorts on whether to expand our space. This vote wasn't quite so divided as our bishop's election, which came down to 3 votes in the end. It was not quite so divided here. It was rather resounding. And I was proud of what our neighbors would have overheard in this very room. People who were thoughtful and diligent about welcoming more people into the love and life of Jesus Christ through Spirit of Joy. And now, as Spirit of Joy, we move forward to expand our space, and I wonder what our neighbors will continue to overhear. I wonder what they will see in us as we break ground, and they will see us. As we go door to door to invite neighbors into this tangled web of humanity we call Spirit of Joy, and believe me, we will do that, go door to door. I wonder what our neighbors will overhear. I wonder what they will hear in our prayers for them, and I hope that they will hear that they might experience the love of God in and through this community. I hope that through us they might see themselves as beloved children of God, connected to us and to the world in the web of love that exists within our God for the sake of the world. I hope our neighbors will hear that the love of God is for them, and I hope we will remind them of this gift every time they come here. And I hope we will send them with the love of God as they go forth from here, just as I hope that you today hear that the love of God is for you and for the world. So let us pray. God of all grace, I give you thanks for these sisters and brothers gathered today. May they know this day that you love them, each of them, with the same love you showed on the cross in the death of Jesus Christ. May they know that the love of God is for them this morning and throughout their days and weeks. May they know, too, that the love of God is for their neighbors, for our neighbors, for the disgruntled man in the car beside us at the stoplight, for the refugee, for the immigrant traveling near and far, for the woman next door, for all who are marginalized and alone in our society. May these sisters and brothers, may we all know that we are not alone in this life, that you have placed us in a web of love for our sake and for the sake of the world. May Spirit of Joy continue to be a place and a people who make room for our neighbors in this web. It's in the name of Jesus, the source and perfection of our love, that we pray. Amen.